Good evening. Great to see you all here tonight. And principle five is where we're going to settle tonight. It talks about voluntarily submitting to every change that God wants to make in our lives, as opposed to going kicking and screaming. God wants to make change in our lives, and we want to humbly ask Him to remove our character defects. Many of us have gotten to the place where we ask God to remove our character defects, but it's not necessarily a humble thing. We're like, you know, God, you know, you got to do this for me, right? We want to get to this place where we're doing it humbly. And Matthew 5, 6 says it this way, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. And so being willing, volunteering ourselves and our defects and saying, God, could you do something with these? Could you make a difference in my life? And this goes with step 6 from the anonymous programs, where it says that we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And the verse that goes with that is James 4, 10. Read that with me. Ready? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Okay? We place ourselves at the disposal of the Father, and He lifts us up. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again. Congratulations. If you are ready for principle 5, you have already taken some major steps. And let's review what some of those steps may have been. Steps that many of us have taken so far is one, that we have admitted that we have a problem. We are not God, and our lives, or portions of our lives, have been unmanageable. So we realize we have a problem. We admitted that. Number 2, we have realized that we were powerless to help ourselves. We got to the point where we realized that our strength wasn't enough. We needed the help of our Heavenly Father. Number 3, we came to believe that God would and that He could help us in our situation. Number 4, we've turned our lives and our wills over to God's care and direction. Some people may call that a salvation experience or an enlightenment. Number 5, we have started our spiritual inventories. Some of us did that in a column format, where we wrote out people that hurt us, how that affected us, and if we had any resentment or fear toward those people, our own part in those resentments and fears. And some of us may have written it out as more of a narrative, but in either case, it's a spiritual inventory, and many of us got a chance to start that last month. And then lastly, we take an opportunity to take that inventory and then share it with another person who's very, very safe for us, that we sit with them and we read to them what we have. So it feels about now that we've done quite a bit of work, and when you've worked these principles to this point, you can feel like it's time to take a vacation, a time to relax. But it's not. Okay, not so fast. It's not time for vacation. This point here is what separates the men from the boys. It separates the women from the girls. This is a critical juncture in our recovery process. And what happens here is there was a $64 million question or $64,000 question. Well, since Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, now we have a $1 million question, right? And all these game shows are now, they're all trying to trump each other. So everybody has $1 million they're trying to give away. And I don't know if you read the fine print recently, but it says that you get that in an annuity over 40 years. So you don't actually get the $1 million. But anyway, you get it over time. But the big question here, the $1 million question for you and for me, is this. Are we entirely ready? Okay, some of us are ready. We might be partly ready. The question is, are we entirely ready? Do we really want to get rid of these character defects? Do we really want to get rid of all of them? Or do we want to get rid of some of them and keep others that seem to be working for us? Okay, Chuck, kind of tossing, as we might a basketball, our character defects to get rid of them. Of course, we want to throw away our character defects. But some of our defects are a little bit harder to get rid of than others. Some are easy and some are hard. Some of us find that when we come to Christ and we understand the work that He's done for us on the cross, some things just kind of drop off. And we are a new creature in Christ. But we also see from the scripture that we have a sinful flesh, that our bodies are not perfected. And so even though we may be in relationship with Christ, we still struggle with certain things. Some things change right away, and other things take years, decades to change. And part of the reason for that is our character defects have been formed over years. It said 10, 20, or 30, but I changed it because for me, a lot of my character defects were built up over the course of 8 years, from the time I was like 11 to the time I was 19 or so. And so that 8 years, it took for me to build up a lot of character defects in my life. For some of you, it may be more like 28 years or 38 years. Regardless, it's taken time for us to get where we are today. And the point is, it's going to take time for God to remove those character defects. What does it mean to be entirely ready to volunteer and submit to every change that God wants to make in my life? The million-dollar question. Well, here's the acrostic for tonight. It's on the word ready. So R stands for releasing our control. And we'll find out what that means. E stands for easy does it. A stands for accepting the change. D stands for do replace your character defects. And Y stands for yielding to growth. So let's unpack those a little tonight. What about this R in releasing control? What does it mean to release control? There's a picture of Jesus. It says in Revelation 3:20, Jesus stands at the door and he knocks, and if anyone lets him in, he will come into that place and he will have dinner, he'll have a meal with you. Okay? There's a story of Jesus knocking on someone's door and that person opening the door to Jesus and allowing them to come into their home and kind of showing Jesus around to some of the various rooms in the house. But as the person finds out, Jesus isn't just interested in a few of the rooms that this person has cleaned up to show Jesus, but Jesus kind of asks about some of the other rooms, and what about this closet, and what about that place over there? And of course the person says, no, you don't understand. There's things in there that you can't and shouldn't see. No, you don't want to go in there. You can't go in there. And of course, Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He will only go where we will allow him to go. And so this story just kind of highlights for us that some of us hear Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts. We want to let him in, and we do let him in, but we're not entirely ready to have him see the whole house. So with this, we release control, and we say, Jesus, you have carte blanche. You come into this house, and you do what you need to do. Willingness is the key that unlocks the door so that God can remove our character defects. So we have to become willing. Psalm 143 and 10 says it this way. Read that with me. Help me to do your will, for you are my God. Lead me in good paths, for your spirit is good. So we're asking for God's help. We're asking him to lead us in the good path. We're becoming willing to let him come into our home and do what he wants to do. We're releasing control. And what does it mean to release control? It means to let go and let God. And that can be a very difficult thing because these character defects are part of us, and it's almost like losing an arm or losing a leg or losing a finger or a toe. These things have become part of who we are. And we have to let them go to God and say, what will you do with this? As we begin to release control, we can begin to think that this may be an easy process. So I let give up control, and God takes over from there, and I can sit back in my easy chair, and this is all just going to be changed right away. Easy does it has to do with a few things, and one of them is this isn't a quick fix. Okay? Just because we let Jesus in our home and we allow him to see some of the rooms in there and to do what he needs to do, It's probably a little bit more like removing a virus from a website or a computer. A year ago, we were going through this material. I have a website, and that website was attacked by hackers. And I can't remember exactly how it happened, but whenever you went to my website, something happened that wasn't supposed to happen and ended up at some other place that you weren't supposed to be. And they were trying to sell you on something, I guess, is what happened. And as I was kind of working through this, I realized that if you went through the process, you might, that the people had an entrance into my website. And it wasn't, I found it wasn't a quick fix. First of all, I couldn't figure out where the entrance door was that they were coming in, or the window that was open that they were, the hackers were getting into. I had to call someone up and say, can you help me? And I found out it's going to take them hours to, first, it's going to take them a while to find out where the window is that they're getting in, and then they have to close the window. Then they have to figure out how they opened the window in the first place. There's a bit to it. So it wasn't a quick fix. And for you and I, in terms of our character defects, it's a lot like that. It's a lot like having a virus. And it's going to take time for Jesus to do his work in our lives. And number two, you need to allow God time to work in your life. As I think back on my journey, and 8 years I spent building up character defects, and even before that, but 8 years did a really good job of building them up. And then it took 4 years of college in which God was working in my life in great ways during those 4 years. And I was a lot more open, a lot more yielded to him during those 4 years. And it took those years for God to build into me the character that I needed to get married, to go into the ministry, things like that. So giving God time and not being in a hurry. What we have to remember is that God's timeline with us is not just in the here and now. His timeline for us is, you know, was before we were born. He had plans for us. And he has plans for us through this life and into the next life for all of eternity. So he's not in a hurry. Of course, he wants us to yield to him, but he's willing to take the time necessary to build into us. Next, we want to get to the root cause. John Baker, the founder of Celebrate Recovery, talks about the root issues in his life, and one of the root issues in his life was self-esteem. So he didn't feel so great about himself. And so what did he do? He went to the bar every day after work, and he drank himself silly. Why? Was that the issue? Well, it became an issue for his family, certainly. But the root cause of that, part of it, was how he felt about himself. And so he medicated that feeling, that bad feeling that he had, with alcohol. And so when he got to the root cause of not just focusing on the alcohol, but why he was doing the alcohol, then he was able to get to the root cause. And God was able to do some change in his life. When we think about character defects, what we have to realize is the sin of abusing alcohol or becoming dependent on alcohol, in John's case, that sin is a symptom of a character defect. The character defect was that over a period of time, he didn't feel good about himself. He didn't have an accurate picture of who he was in Jesus. And so that led him to sin. And for each one of us in our character defects, those character defects manifest themselves in some different kinds of sin, like anger or alcohol or the way that we eat or the way that we relate with other people. But at the root of that is something else. And we don't want to just, you know, John could have tried to get rid of his alcoholism or get rid of drinking, but he still would have had this feeling of self or worth that wasn't accurate with what the scriptures say. He was probably going to fill that dysfunction with another dysfunction. When we work on principle five, we're going after the defect. We're putting it inside of a target. And for me, this was a question that I came up with as I was looking at John's experience. Here's my experience. What was it that caused me to sin by seeking out physical and emotional affection from girls before I was ready for a relationship with these girls? I was seeking things from them and trying to be in relationship with them when I wasn't ready. And that was sin for me for 8 years. At the root of that was the fact that I didn't believe that God was enough. So at 10 years old, almost turning 11, my mother was taken from this world, my stepfather was taken from this world, and it left a hole in my life. And I tried to fill that with other people because I didn't believe that God was enough. Over time, I began to believe it more and more, but that was part of the root that manifested itself this way. So here's Psalm 37, and let's read these together. Ready? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So we commit our way to the Lord. We trust that He knows what to do with these character defects. And we see from the Scripture what He's going to do when we're still before Him. And we wait patiently for Him to do His work. Next is A in the acrostic, and that is about accepting change. God is in the changing business, but we have to accept this change that He's going to bring. And first of all, seeing the need for change is one thing, but allowing the change to occur is something very different. And so there are two different things here. Some of us see the need for change in our lives, but we're not necessarily allowing God to do His work. And so what we have is a space between the recognition of what needs to happen and the willingness. And in that gap is something called fear. This is something different. If I give up control to God, if I'm willing to accept the change that He wants to bring, it can bring fear because this is something I'm not used to. I have lived with these character defects for years. I don't know what it's going to be like to not live with them. So fear can trigger our old dependency, the way that we depended on ourselves, the way we over-depended on other people. It can also trigger our self-control issues of wanting to control things, either thinking that we can control situations. And so this can prevent us from progress, our own self-will, trying to think that we can do it on our own. So if I'm trapped in my self-will, Principle 5 will not work. I can't voluntarily submit to every change that God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects if I'm afraid or if I'm not willing. So we need to be ready to accept God's help in this transition. Here's a verse from 1 Peter. Let's read this together. Have your minds ready for action. Keep alert and set your hope completely on the blessing which will be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Be obedient to God and do not allow your lives to be shaped by those desires you had when you were still ignorant. And so Peter says, have your minds ready for action. Be ready for the transition that God has. All we need is the willingness to let God lead us in our road to recovery. James 4:10, we read earlier, is to humble ourselves before the Lord, and He will lift us up. And the D in our acrostic for ready tonight has to do with replace your character defects, okay? This is extremely important because if we don't replace the character defects with the character of Christ, what happens is the character defects that are going to, there are other character defects that are going to creep back in. Either the old ones are going to creep back in or new ones are going to creep back in. And this is like updating the software platform. As my website got hacked and then we found out where all the viruses were in within the code and they removed them, then they had to go and they had to find where the people came in, because if we just got rid of all the viruses and didn't fix the window that they came in, they would just come back in and plant another virus. Okay, so what this is called is a foothold principle. And the Scripture says that we're not supposed to give the devil a foothold. We're not supposed to, you know, if a salesman comes to your house and knocks on the door, all he wants to do is get his foot in the door, right? As long as you don't shut that door and he can keep talking to you, there's a chance that you might let him in the house. There's a chance that you might buy the vacuum or the knives or whatever he's selling. So it's a foothold principle, and the devil wants nothing more than to get his foot in the door. And so we have to close up that place where they're coming in and bringing the viruses. We have to place something different in there. In this code, we have to get rid of it, and we have to have good, fresh code and get rid of the codes that have the viruses in them. And in Matthew 12, it says that there was an evil spirit that went out from a person, and the evil spirit traveled over dry country looking for a place to rest. And it says, if it can't find one, it says to itself, I will go back to my house. I'll go back to the person where I was before. And so it goes back and it finds the house empty, and then it goes out and brings along seven other spirits, even worse than itself, and they come to live there. So You and I can get rid of the character defect, but if we don't replace that with the character of Christ, the fruits of the Spirit, then what happens is the devil says, okay, you remove that character defect, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to come back and I'm bringing my buddies with me. And I'm going to take back over your house. And going on to the last letter in the acrostic, that is the word yield, and yielding to the growth that God wants to implant in us. And for some of us at first, well, our old self-doubts and habits may tell us that we're not worthy. We're not worthy of growth. We're not worthy of progress that we may be making in a program like Celebrate Recovery. And so the accuser comes and says, hey, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve this kind of victory in your life. Well, we can't listen to this. We need to yield to the growth. This is the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives, bringing about change. And so we want to yield to that. 1 John 3-9 says, the person who has been born into God's family does not make a practice of sinning, because now God's life is in him, so he can't keep on sinning. For this new life has been born into him and controls him. He has been born again. And for many of us, before we knew Jesus, we lived a certain way. We did our own thing. And perhaps it didn't bother us all that much because we weren't regenerated yet. We weren't made new. But once we came to Christ, I think most of us probably experienced that feeling of the Holy Spirit coming and saying, boy, that's not right in your life. And that conviction that we couldn't day after day after day continue to go our own way and continue to sin. And that's what this scripture says, is that we can't do that as Christians. We have to yield to God's Spirit. So the million-dollar question, are you entirely ready to voluntarily submit to any and all changes that God wants to make in your life? And here's the prayer that we can pray together. I'll ask you to read this with me. Dear God, thank you for taking me this far in my recovery journey. Now I pray for your help in making me be entirely ready to change all my shortcomings. Give me the strength to deal with all of my character defects that I have turned over to you. Allow me to accept all the changes that you want to make in me. Help me be the person that you want me to be. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. And then we have the Serenity Prayer. I ask you to stand for this one. And let's begin this together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. All right, we'll take a few minutes to just fellowship together, maybe grab some snacks, and then we'll have our small group time after.